and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned in to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 9. We saw last time where the Lord Jesus healed the man born by four, the man that was stricken of the palsy. We saw their faith in the Lord Jesus that he could heal. And we saw that the Lord Jesus is more than the healer of our physical bodies, but he's the Savior and the Savior and of the souls of men. He's the forgiver of sins. We all have transgressions and the resultant condemnation, the coming damnation from that. And Jesus is the forgiver of sinners' sins. In chapter 9 of Matthew, verse number 9, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, from that place, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And you know, that's the way it is with the Lord Jesus even today. Through the preaching of his word, the witness of the gospel of Jesus and the truth of that gospel, that is proclaimed by his people and by his churches. It's by that gospel and by that word that the Lord is still saying to sinners, follow me. Still saying to sinners, follow me. And you know what? Matthew heard him, because it says he arose and followed him. Verse 10, and it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, because Matthew, Levi, threw him a great feast, okay? And he was excited about this call of the Lord. And what the Lord had called him into. And it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Of course, Matthew's friends, his co-workers, all those that he would bid to come to this feast that Matthew, or otherwise known as Levi, had thrown for him. And they came, sinners and publicans. The sinner reference is not that these were people that were worse sinners. They were thought to be worse sinners, but the thing is everybody is a sinner, and there's no good sinner and no bad sinner. There's only bad sinners. There's bad sinners, and there's saved bad sinners, and there's unsaved bad sinners. That's the way that it is. We're all bad sinners, because one sin makes us guilty of all the law of God. So we're all incredibly wicked, bad sinners. Need to grab a hold of that. If you think that you're better than somebody else, give it up, because you're not. All the thing is, well, Brother Jim, I've never murdered anybody. That's right. You may have not have physically murdered anyone, but the Lord Jesus, the scripture bears unto us that murder of somebody in our heart is just as guilty before God. Adultery in the heart is just as guilty before God. And so all these publicans and sinners are there, and they sit down with him and his disciples to eat. No closer fellowship than you can have than to sit down and eat with somebody. And when the Pharisees saw this, Matthew holding the feast, Jesus coming to it, the feast is held in honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, all these publicans and sinners, and Jesus being a master, as the Jews would say, he's a rabbi, he's a teacher, he's got a following. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? What's he doing eating with tax collectors that have sold out the nation and sinners? Sinners, wicked people, thieves and adulterers and fornicators and the wicked of our city. But you know what? The disciples don't have a chance to an opportunity to answer. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, he hears the question and he looks right over to them, our Lord Jesus, in the midst of all this. They that be whole need not a physician, Jesus says, but they that are sick. Says, fellas, you think you're just fine. You don't need me. But these people, They know they're wicked. They know they're guilty. They know they are sinners and have committed such against God. You're trusting in your self-righteousness. You believe that you're holy. You believe that you're sinless. To your thinking, you're not sick. But these people here, they are sick. But go ye, verse 13, and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So the Lord gives them a challenge, said, you need to go learn what that means. You need to learn about the physician, that the physician is not sent to those that are well. To those that are well, the physician has no impact. There's what's the benefit of having a physician around when you're feeling good and doing well and not ill, not sick? You don't need a doctor. The doctor is for those that are sick, for those that are down and out, for those that are hurting, for those that are compromised and afflicted by their sins. And he says, you go learn what this means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Our Lord loves mercy. It pleases the Lord. There's nothing that pleases him more than for the mercy of his people and for him to extend mercy unto the repentant. He said, I'd rather have the exercise of mercy from me upon the repentant and the needy that see that they're needy. That's a part of repentance that's at hand. Repentance and faith being inseparable things, inseparable graces, they come together, and this is the salvation of the soul and the operation and work of God and sinners. He says, but to be merciful to the repentant, the Lord loves nothing more. He will not take a sacrifice over the extending of mercy by him unto the repentant. He desires the repentant to come home, to come to their Creator, to come to their God and their Savior, admitting their guilt and their need. Not sacrifice. Not what you do, Pharisees. It's in your self-righteousness and your thinking that God needs you. No, that doesn't please the Lord. That's not what the Lord is interested in. The Lord is interested in the extending of mercy. You know, the Lord's people need to be a merciful people too. We need to tell and stand against what sin is. Put it out of our own lives. Not be a hypocrite. And tell what the Lord says. Warn sinners. We're not the sentencing part of judgment, but we do make judgments in telling and declaring what the Lord says about a thing is wrong. Abortion is evil and wicked and wrong. Drunkenness is evil and wicked and wrong. Being promiscuous is wicked and evil and wrong. Being adulterous is evil and wicked and wrong. Pornography is wicked and evil and wrong. It will be the Lord, though, that will carry out the sentence for those things and others of transgression and sin against him. As the Lord's people, we need to tell what's wrong, but we need to be a merciful people. Jesus says, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Come on, sinner, and repent of your sins before God. The Lord is abundant in mercy, and he will greatly pardon. He will greatly pardon by the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary some 2,000 years ago, nearly 2,000 years ago, in coming and becoming a man. And because he is God and he is holy and he is righteous, he lived a perfect life. In the prime of his life, he gave himself on the cross of Calvary. And there submitted to the wrath of God for the sins of his people. And then when it was completed, when he had paid the price that the Father was satisfied with, he gave up the ghost. He gave up his life. He died willingly and was buried for 3 days and 3 nights and then took his life back again. He rose from the grave, rose from the dead, because he is life everlasting, and in that has defeated death and the grave eternally for us. He loves to be merciful. Having won such, having accomplished stuff, such, he loves to take that and what he has done that we cannot do for ourselves, what he has done, he loves to mercifully give that unto sinners that are repentant and believing, having faith in him. Oh, if you're here and you're not saved, I point you to Jesus. You don't need religion. You don't need a church. The church, the Lord's churches have their right place for fellowship and service in that, but a church cannot save you. Religion cannot save you. A dogma, a creed, an organization, a person cannot save you. No person can confirm your salvation in any wise. It's between you and the Lord Jesus, and you need him. Come unto him. As the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 11, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You need the Lord Jesus, sinner. We point you unto him. In verse number 14, the scripture says here, Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? They don't fast at all. They don't fast at all. Why is that? Why is it that we fast all the time, but your disciples don't fast at all? What's going on there, Jesus? And Jesus said unto them, verse 15 of Matthew 9, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish, but they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. In a nutshell, Jesus is saying regarding his disciples, I am at hand. There's no need to mourn. There's no need to fast, because Jesus is there physically with his disciples. John's disciples, John is pointing them to Christ. John is teaching them about Christ. John is teaching them about prayer to the Father and how that fasting is indeed a part of praying to the Lord. But Jesus is at hand for his own disciples, and when he's at hand, there's no need to mourn, there is no need to fast, and he is the bridegroom of his church. He is the bridegroom of his church. I see that the time is past for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.